Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode, another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Devin Ellington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation, hoop-ball.com. Make sure you go over there, check out the stuff that we just loaded up. Got some great, great, great Wager Pass plays. If you're not familiar already, Wager Pass is a part of our premium content that we rolled out here recently. We are having a lot of growth, a lot of new family members, Discord servers galore, lots of conversation. It's a fun, fun community, real easy going. We also got DFS stuff, if that's for you, strictly fantasy basketball packages as well. Football 360 is all encompassing. It's going to be $14.99 for everything. And we're going to make sure we get your money back real promptly, I promise. Great content, great conversation. Come join the family. We'd love to have you. And if not, then just come, you know, get some great content for your fantasy basketball leagues, general hoops knowledge, and chat with us. I'd also like to shout out Manscaped.com being the show sponsor. Lawnmower 3.0 just came out. Fully electronic, waterproof technology, smooth, easy glide to make the lawn a little more approachable, if you know what I mean. They also got a care kit that I really, really enjoy. It's got great body wash, face wash, hair treatment stuff for us gentlemen. The weed whacker. I'm almost 30, and I'm starting to see the nose hairs connecting to my mustache, and the ear hairs that I thought were pieces of my sideburns are actually sprouting out of my ears. Weed whacker with the dual motor, lithium battery, tugless technology takes care of that. It's a seamless, smooth transition to go from extra hairy to not so hairy. Use promo code HOOPBALL, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L 20, HOOPBALL 20, to go ahead and get your free shipping, 20% off of all those products, all those great things. Let them know we sent you. Get you lawn mowed. Well, speaking of hairy, I didn't plan this segue, but you know, it just came about. Today's show is going to be phenomenal. We're going to focus on a lot of wild card weekend stuff. We have a phenomenal guest back on the show. I say back on the show because he was so kind enough, you know, in the middle of the weird 2020 thing to jump on Today in Sports Betting and, you know, be a part of some content with me, which was a dream come true. You know, we've got a lot of growth, a lot of new followers since then. So a lot of this, analysis and these takes from Harry are going to be, you know, new for you guys. And hopefully we familiarize yourself with one of the giants within the industry. One of my idols, like I said, I look up to his work. He does all sorts of stuff. He is a part of the Extra Points podcast, Against All Odds. He does work with the Parlay Kid, Brother Bree, Cousin Sal. But, you know, I won't spill the whole can of beans. I'm going to go ahead and let him do that. But without further ado, Hoop Ballers, Harry Gagnon. Gas Gagnon, how you doing, man?
Hey, Dev. Thanks for having me on, man. I love your stuff, man. And, hey, listen, speaking of hair, I'm almost, like you said, you're almost 30. I'm almost 50. Any way I can get some locks like you got, any way possibly I can get that type of hair some way?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to make a Rogaine joke. I'm not going to make a Rogaine joke.
I haven't had hair in a long time, but yeah.
I think some of it's genetics, to be honest, you know. Oh, I think absolutely. I came out with 5 o'clock shadow.
I did too, but the only thing is that my grandfather, they say it comes after your mother's father, and he was bald at like 17, so right off the bat, I had some bad luck.
Oh man, tough draw there, bud. I can't relate. I wake up and I pull hairs out of my mouth, and we won't get into it. We got some sports content to talk about, not my hair
Sounds
problems. But, like I said, Harry, you're someone I look up to in this industry.
Thanks.
You're someone that has provided great content. You honestly just, and we were talking a little off air about, you know, Tally Site and then the rankings and just kind of my successes with picking smaller schools. And honestly, mm-hmm. where I got into that market and where I saw the little saturation is go out there and be knowledgeable in the small schools that not a lot of people are covering.
You know what? Absolutely. I agree 100%. I know you knew I did a lot of stuff at Odd Shark, and I was doing write-ups for them and doing shows. And now I'm a full-time with Sal all the way at extrapoints.com. I also do my own site at bestbetcorner.com, where I have the Parlay Kid on all the time with me too. And it's interesting. At Odd Shark, I had a segment and an article that I would write, and I would call it Hidden Gems, where basically I'm looking for a small school and trying to figure out how I can bet them, what I think is best, give angles on it. And a lot of times it was more college football than anything. But also now with Extra Points, me, Parlay Kid, Brother Bright, we're giving picks on extrapoints.com. Every single day since we've started this new network, since we left the Ringer, we're giving out picks every single day. I'm doing a silly video of some sort most of the time, as you know, and you can always check it out at extrapoints.com. And I'm trying to, sometimes you got teams that are, you got the NFL, you got the NBA, but sometimes you go for the smaller school. And like tonight, I'm going with, at -12.5, I'm taking Wright State in college basketball over Youngstown State. And that's, again, you were all over Coastal Carolina this year in football, and they had a great season, and they covered most of the time. And that's what I'm trying to do, too. I'm like, people want to be like, Wright State, what's that? Well, read it. When they win, then you'll acknowledge and you'll understand.
I'm so glad. There's a couple things I need to unpack and piggyback out of what you just said. First of all, the Hidden Gems article, that was my first exposure to you. Was my introduction to Harry Gagnon.
And I was 68% in those Hidden Gems.
Right,
too.
I know. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Me crap about it. Sal would give me a lot of cousin Sal would give me a lot of crap about 68% to 68%.
Yeah, it's not 69%, but
but I mean, no. It's still pretty good.
Damn good. I mean, way above average. Real briefly, I know we were going to focus on football, and I saw you put it out on Twitter, and I got a little worried, and I was just like, ah, damn. I'm on Youngstown State. They were in my wager pass picks. Spoiler alert, guys, if you're not a premium subscriber. I like it. It worries me a little because you're smart.
Well, you know what it is too. And this is something that I've told and I've been following with the Parlay Kid a lot because him and I talk plenty off air and we're best pals. And as I am with Sal and everything, Brother Bry's a little younger than us and he's got a couple kids and Parlay Kid's got kids too. But this is really interesting, Devin, because this is the first year really because of COVID. And I know you've noticed this. And I pointed this out to Darren the other day. A lot of these smaller conferences this year, because of traveling and restrictions and COVID, they're doing back-to-back home games. And this is something new in the sports gambling world because they've never done this before. Like last week, for example, Youngstown State over the weekend played Wisconsin Green Bay back-to-back games at home. So, and a lot of this is something that I've noticed is if a team covers the first game, they won't cover the next. On Sunday, I gave out 10 picks, me and Darren, probably kid, just 7 picks, and I went 7-3. one game, New Hampshire, to cover by a point when they were left, and they were up 13 with 4 minutes to go. So very easily could have went 8-2. So that's why I'm trying to figure out these games here. And mind you, this tonight, I'm just saying for whatever it is, Wright State's a heck of a team too. They have the top three scorers are shooting 57% or better, and Youngstown's decent, but they've struggled at times too. So I'm taking a shot here. I'm going to lay a big number. Look, I took a shot yesterday with the number one team in the country. You know what happens. I had Gonzaga. I was going for 4 out of 5 on extra points. And by the way, Parlay Kid is at 9 in a row.
I saw that.
Nine in a row. And yesterday I was going for 4 out of 5 in a row. And I had Gonzaga. They're up 26 laying. I was laying 18.5 when I did the video. The line went to 17, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're up 26 with 2.5 minutes to go. And they win by 17. I don't cover. It's like, it happens every once in a while. It sucks when it happens. But again, sometimes, you know, you get snake bitten like that in college basketball.
Right, right. Sometimes you're the dog. Sometimes you're the hydrant.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
those back-to-backs, you know, I'm glad you brought them up. And then we'll kind of wrap up the college basketball because I'm excited to unpack some pigskin stuff with you. The back-to-backs, the conference that I've really latched onto and I've started gaining data and analysis in my own, you know, perception and what I've noticed. The MAAC, you know, like the Siena, the Manhattans, you know.
The St. Peter's Peacocks.
St. Peter's. That's actually a dark horse in that conference right there.
It's funny you said that because that's who actually beat me early on Saturday with the home-and-home. They lost at home. They lost on the road at Canisius, and they're a better team than Canisius on Friday. So I came back with them on Saturday, and they lost again. That was my one loser trying to go those back-to-backs on Saturday. It happens, but, you know, that conference is you can definitely find some winners in that conference, absolutely.
Yeah, and just one last tidbit. The thing I've noticed is whenever the favorite is within a point or 3 points on the spread in the first game, they're covering at like a 71% clip. But once it gets over to that 3.5, that 4, you know, Niagara was an 8.5 point favorite or a dog, and they ended up winning by like 6. So I noticed once it hits that 3.5, that 4, I'm not touching the first game favorites. I'm going to wait for them to come back on the second game.
I'm telling you, you can also catch, like I caught on Sunday, who was it? I had, it was Navy was playing, Colgate. Nice. Yeah. Colgate beat them by 40 the first game. And then I came back with Navy the next day and, or Army the next day. It was Army. Came back with Army the next day. Army beat them straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, you can catch that.
Yeah.
You'll find that. That was the same thing with Wright State last week too. They beat Oakland by 40 and then lost the next game. Yeah. You can find that. And doing that, trying that, you'll catch heck of a price on underdog moneyline dog. Yeah. Heck of a price.
Value and conviction. You know, it's the two biggest principles of this show, and I'm trying to instill it in everyone. So, Harry, before jump into pigskin, let me talk about mybookie.ag so I can get the promo stuff out of the way. Mybookie.ag, Hoopballers. A couple of you in the Discord servers were talking about some different books and whatnot and how they didn't do this, didn't do that. I asked if you had used mybookie.ag and used our promo code Hoopball. You didn't. You did. Now you're awesome. And I love you even more. So shout out to the Discord people that did follow my advice. Use Hoopball, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, to go ahead and get that 50% initial deposit match. You don't have to select the deposit bonus and carry all that rollover mumbo jumbo. Just use the promo code. Let them know that we sent you. They're going to take care of you. Great customer service, rapid response time, diversity. You got blackjack, roulette, poker, Texas Hold'em, slot machines, you name it. I was playing roulette a couple nights ago. My dad, my uncle get on there and they play blackjack. It's fun. It's real fun. So it's a family affair for me and y'all are a part of the family now. So let's go ahead and just grow the family. Hoopball's the promo code, mybookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Harry.
Listen, speaking of, by the way, Devin, living in Vegas for 17 years, my table game of choice was roulette.
I'm a craps guy.
You know what? I like the small bet for the big payoff. That's me. Fair, that's me.
Fair.
I'm a parlay animal. I can't help it.
You know, like I said, the pigskin is something that you and I are both passionate about collegiately, NFL. I'm obviously, so my heart is just got all these different storage spaces for college sports. So obviously I hold them a little more in regard. You're super smart with the NFL. And I want to talk about the overall tone and the theme of Wild Card Weekend. I think it's known knowledge, especially if you spend some time on gambling Twitter and within that sphere, you're seeing a lot of love towards the dogs and the unders, just because historically speaking, Wild Card Weekend treats us to those winners. Which game do you want to talk about first?
Well, you know, what I want to say first is, like, I was just on a show yesterday. I did a show 2 days ago in Detroit, Couch in the Rube, and all those guys were telling me how much they're like, I want to parlay the money line on every favorite, which it looks good. It does look good, but you got to be a little aware of the situation here. I mean, is Vegas going to really take a pounding with every favorite winning? I think you got to try to find an underdog somewhere here. Now, the first game of the day on Saturday is Colts and Bills, and I know it's 6.5, and it's pretty much stayed on that number. I mean, this is a game, though, where I am going to probably stay away. I might put together a parlay with the Bills on the money line. I'm not going to lay the 6. I don't trust Phillip Rivers for 1 second. He had a decent season, but, you know, sometimes he surprises you, but when he's supposed to be great, he's not. I didn't like them having to give him $25 million. For a 1 year contract. And 6.5 is a tricky number here, especially the way the Bills have been rolling. I mean, being a guy from upstate New York, like I am, I'm from three hours north of Buffalo. I've been around Bills fans my entire life, and everything's going incredibly great for them. I mean, last week in the second quarter, backup wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie scores 3 touchdowns in the second quarter alone. The Bills have put up 56 in a game that Miami needed. They're averaging 47 points the last 3 games. Is it me, or does it seem too easy to just lay 6.5 in this game?
You know, if it was too easy, we'd all be out there just celebrating our winnings.
Jonathan Taylor's been playing fantastic, no doubt about it, especially the second half of the year. He has been rolling, and he's been an integral part of that team to get them into the playoffs. But I'm just not going to lay 6.5 here.
It's sandwiched between 2 key numbers, which is a little odd. And then, like you talked about with Phillip Rivers, I have severe trust issues with the guy. His turnovers and his untimely interceptions in the red zone or on passes 50, 40 yards down the field to try to, you know, get the team back in the game. Though that's going to hold a different weight in Wild Card Weekend than what it does in the regular season. Can't be doing that, especially with this aggressive Bills secondary with White. Edmonds isn't technically a secondary player, but you get my drift. He plays a lot of different coverages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Poyer.
Poyer's,
you know,
great.
You know, you just can't. Bills are going to get 2 interceptions. They're going to pick them off twice. That's probably, you know, something that I might be incorrect on.
But, and you know what? I don't feel if the Bills roll them, good for everybody who was out there betting the Bills. Like I said, I'll probably take them on a money line. But if they don't cover, I sat back and waited, and now I'm rolling to the next game and I didn't get smoked. I just think that you just got to be a little aware. You know, this is the Bills situation where they haven't won a playoff game since 95.
18, that's a lot longer than 18 years.
Yeah, it's 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
Yesterday was, or today was the 21-year anniversary of the Music City Miracle. Look, I just think that too much is going good for the Bills, and I'm just going to lay off that one, bud.
Yeah. Just a quick reference to your roots. So you're familiar with Tonawanda, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got a
couple. Sal's roommate in college. One of his 2 roommates in college where I met Sal. Him and I went to school upstate New York. One of his roommates was from Tonawanda.
Awesome. I think I vaguely remember that now within our previous discussions way back when in 2020. Yeah, I got a real good friend from Tonawanda, worked for him at the bar he opened in Kansas City. So he got his dad's recipe from the 70s for the Tonawanda wings.
I'll tell you. Delicious, right?
Oh yeah. So I've never been to Town of London, but I could taste it.
Sure.
All right. So the next game, you know, the game that I'm probably most interested in, the wild card weekend, you know, is this Washington football team Tampa Bay game, because 8.5 is honestly just way too many points, in my opinion. We saw so many inconsistencies with the Buccaneers on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And then if there's one thing that is Tom Brady's kryptonite, see his two Super Bowl losses against the Giants, is a dominant pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Washington football team have? A dominant pass rush. It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. Young, Sweat, and Kerrigan combined for Washington, 23 sacks. And this Washington team, 7 straight games, they haven't given up more than 20 points.
Oh,
so you're asking a lot here for Tampa Bay. Now, granted, Tampa Bay's offense has been clicking. Last 4 games, they've got 19 total touchdowns, 9 of them for 20 yards or more. Again, last 2 games, they scored over 40, not against good competition, obviously, but still, they're clicking right now. And Brady's been good over the last 4 games, 12 touchdowns, 1 pick, and Gronkowski has been fantastic. I mean, if there was a bet out there that I would have put all my money on at the beginning of the season, would be that Gronkowski does not play all 16 games. And he did. He did, and he's been good. I mean, O.J. Howard went down early in the season. I thought he was going to have a big season with Brady, and then Gronkowski filled in. Now, again, though, this Washington team didn't look great on Sunday night, that's for sure. Alex Smith is still up in the air if he's playing. Heinicke, when he had to fill in a couple weeks ago against Carolina, didn't look terrible, but still – this is another situation where you're right, Devin. I'm not gonna lay the points. I'm not gonna lay more than a touchdown on the road in a playoff game. But this is a situation where I think you can take Tampa Bay definitely on a teaser and on the money line.
Yeah, my number is 5. So, and then the under is in play for me. Maybe even put that into a teaser too. Just because
you can, because you can bank on Washington to hopefully play great defense, and Tampa doesn't have to go balls to the wall in this game if they get ahead early.
Right.
They can just put it on cruise control, rely on Ronald Jones to run the ball. Brady doesn't have to have a monster game, and they can still win the game and move on to next week.
I think the offenses are going to struggle, but we're not going to see a lot of turnovers. I think there might be like maybe 1 or 2 turnovers. I'm leaning more like 1. I mean, because like you said, Alex Smith, I think he's looking to play, but if he plays, I mean, and this is no discredit to him or like a slight, but he's Mr. Game Manager. He does it so professionally. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, we know how cerebral he is. I don't see a lot of turnovers. I see a lot of sacks and a lot of, you know, backwards plays.
The only thing that's taken Washington, I would worry a little bit about their offense, because he did throw a couple picks last week. That first pick against the Eagles was terrible. Antonio Gibson doesn't look like he's 100%, even though around the Thanksgiving, he was rocking. He was putting up big numbers. McLaren, I don't think he's back to 100% yet either. He had a nice first half last week against the Eagles, made some nice catches, kept drives alive, scored that touchdown. But this is just another situation of, again, Washington shouldn't even be in the playoffs. So just I'd be hesitant a little bit. But, again, Tampa doesn't have to pour it on as long as they get ahead early. And that's what they've been doing lately, too. Tampa's been getting ahead early the last 2 weeks against Detroit on that Saturday, last week against Atlanta. So maybe that's what Brady does. Maybe Washington you might want to think about an under and a second half wager on Washington, where they keep it close and Tampa doesn't go crazy with bombs down the field to Brown and to Godwin and whatever else, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then just to add to that, and then we can move on to this Baltimore-Tennessee game. If you get a live number of anywhere, if you get any double digits live, I would say, you know, probably jump on that too.
That might be a good play. If Tampa jumps out ahead 14-0. Early, 7-0, 10-0, maybe you catch Washington, back the other way at +14.5.
Yeah.
And you hope for the second half to be chill, relaxed. Tampa keeps it on the ground, doesn't run it up. Washington gets lucky with a touchdown down the road. You'll get there.
Yep, absolutely. Baltimore, Tennessee. I don't have a strong opinion on this one, so I was curious to see if you did. It's at a key number of 3, over under 54.5. Opening bell, it was at 55. Lamar Jackson, 0-2 in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. 0-2 in the playoffs. A lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on Harbaugh, but they do have revenge on their minds, too. You know, they lost to him earlier this year on the 29-yard touchdown run by Henry in overtime, wins the game last year in overtime in the playoffs. They only scored 12 points. They got rolled at home. This is a spot, though, I do think, and this, you know, me and the guys always, Devin, I'm sure you do too, try to guess the lines ahead of time before they come out just to see. I was pretty much dead on all of them here, but I did have this Ravens-Titans because the Titans are home. I did have this game as a pick 'em. So I was very surprised to see the Ravens -3. And at first I think, oh man, I like the Titans. But then I thought about it some more. I'm like, you know what? I don't like the Titans. I do like the Ravens here. I like laying the points because I think the way they're coming into this game, they are really putting up some numbers. And I like this game to go over as well. They're the number one and number two teams rushing in the NFL. Ravens are number one. Ravens last five games are averaging 37 points. They've scored 27 or more in those games. They put up 47 that game, Monday night game, a crazy game against Cleveland, 38 last week. And Tennessee is a team here. I don't know if you heard, listen to my stat here on Against All Odds, Devin, but Tennessee gave up 439 points this season. That is the most by a division winner since the NFL realigned in 2001.
I did not hear that stat, but that is awesome.
They give up plenty on defense. I know we know Henry had the 2,000 yards. Tannehill had 40 touchdowns. If you include his rushing touchdowns, he had 40 touchdowns. So they will get theirs, and they were in the playoffs and made a great run last year, so they know what it's all about. So they're going to score. But I think this is a game where Lamar Jackson takes control. I love to see them run the ball. J.K. Dobbins had his best game as a rookie last week. He had 160 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. I think they're going to run the ball down the Titans' throats, and they're not going to be able to do anything about it. Now, the Titans will be able to get theirs too. But again, 2 games this year against Houston, they gave up 74 points. Deshaun Watson was fantastic last week in the second half. And I want to say I came up with a stat. Let me see if I have it here. Tennessee gave up 30 or more points 8 times this year. But more than that, 5 of those 30 were against teams that didn't even make the playoffs. So what is Lamar Jackson and the Ravens going to do here? I think this is a big, big scoring game. I think this is going to be the highest scoring game of the weekend. I think this is something like Ravens 41, Tennessee 34, something like that.
I was going to say 35. Couple of points on this one, then we can move on to the next. You're just like sparking like so many sparks in my head here. Baltimore's team total right now, 28.5. I like, you know, I like that spot. Maybe go ahead and buy that hook to get it down to a nice even 28 key number. I'm glad you talked about Tennessee and their sieve resemblance as a defense. That's what I was going to talk. I was just going to mention like how sieve-y they were.
But you know what's an anomaly, and me and Parlay Kid can't figure this out. I just gave you and your listeners that stat about Tennessee giving up 439 points this year, but Tennessee, probably because they're on the field so much as defense and Tennessee scores so quickly, Tennessee has the best plus-minus ratio in turnovers on defense. They're number one in the league. So, I mean, how you to figure that out? Yeah. Listen, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, trying to figure it out. You got plenty. But still, aside from that, I mean, so you got to give Tennessee their due a little bit there, forcing more turnovers and having more plus than anyone else in the league. But they give up a ton too.
Yeah. And, like you said, I think this is going to be lots of points. This was actually the only game on this wild card slate where I was absolutely anywhere comfortable just leaning on the over. You know, this is the one.
Yeah. So. I'm kind of like disappointed a little bit that that's the first game on Sunday. I would much rather it be the New Orleans Bear game to just, you know, you have a little breakfast, you're watching the game, you know, you turn the game on and all of a sudden probably the Saints are up 14-0 right off the bat and you can just chill and figure and set yourself into the day as that game goes along. But that this game's the first game, Baltimore and Tennessee. So right off the bat, we got a heck of a game.
Well, I'm glad you brought up, Chicago and New Orleans, because since these playoff matchups were established, I've probably lost a few followers and I've probably gone onto some deaf ears. My analysis is going to be here real brief, and you're going to probably think I'm crazy. The Bears beat the Saints. Bears beat the Saints. That is something that stuck out to me as soon as these things were matched up. Mm-hmm. Bears beat the Saints.
Listen. I've said this in a couple shows this week that I wouldn't lay the points. I wouldn't lay the 10. I think the back door is going to be open in this game late into the fourth. And again, the Saints, listen, call it what you want, jinxed or not jinxed. 3 years ago, the Minneapolis Miracle. 2 years ago was the pass interference not called against the Rams. Cost Sal and Clay Travis like $57,000 when they bought that ticket on Prop Swap. Sorry, Sal. But then last year in the playoffs, in the wild card weekend, when people thought Kyle Rudolph pushed off against the Vikings and it wasn't called. So listen, they've got that against them. That's 3 years in a row. And granted, the Bears didn't show up last week when they really needed to and needed to win. Fortunate for them, the Cardinals lost against the Rams and they squeezed into the playoffs. But overall, the Bears here have scored 30 points or more in four of their last five games. Trubisky in those games, four of them, 72% completion percentage. Pretty good. Pretty good for Trubisky. Pretty good for anybody, really. And more than that, six straight games now, David Montgomery has gone for 110 rushing and receiving yards combined, six straight, and he's got six straight games where he scored at least one touchdown. He's got seven over that time period. So with changing over the offense that the Bears did after getting,
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Sitting Foles and bringing Trubisky back in, they have been able to score, like I said, four of their last five games. They've scored 30 points or more. So it's not as crazy as you would think, especially with the Saints still questionable with Kamara and Michael Thomas hasn't played forever.
Right. They're losing continuity. They're losing mojo, in my opinion. A lot of these guys aren't practicing.
Yeah, they're not pressing. And if you don't get Emmanuel Sanders, who you went out and got in free agency, rolling early, which he really hasn't been, the rest of the wide receiver, I mean, Cook's a good tight end, don't get me wrong there, for New Orleans, but the rest of the wide receiver core for the Saints isn't that good.
I'm glad you brought up Cooks and the, excuse me, man, got a ribbit going on today. The tight end for the Saints, I have a lot of faith in Eddie Jackson as a safety. Safeties usually play on tight ends. I don't think Jared Cook's going to be a factor. Breeze is, I think he's going to have people in his face, almost all. They may not sack him a lot because he's good about getting rid of the ball and whatnot, but he's going to get hurried and he's going to get pressured.
Well, again, a lot of pressure on the Saints, a lot of pressure on Breeze, not pressure on the Bears. They made it to the playoffs. Nagy's safe with his job. Let's see what Trubisky's got. You went out, you traded for him. You made a move to get him. Let's see what you got in the playoffs. At least cover, come within 10.
Right. The,
I mean, that's now that, now granted, now I'm going to, I mean, I could, I probably absolutely, are going to have the Saints on a money line parlay, but I wouldn't lay that. I wouldn't push it from 10 down to three on a teaser. I wouldn't want to lay three. Because you lose on it, you lose on that. I would take Saints on a money line parlay, probably with the Bills, with the Bucks. I think that's solid, but I wouldn't lay the 10 because I think the back door is going to be open that whole game in the fourth quarter.
A little bit of weird, market stuff and analysis that I'm seeing right here. And this is over 1,399 bets that I've been tracking that I'm seeing go in, is the fact that 88% of the money is on the spread for New Orleans. And then if you go and look at the
money line. That's a lot, Devin. That's a lot.
You look at the money line, the Bears are getting 45% of the money on the money line, plus 395.
You know, that's sort of, you know, like I've told you, I've worked in Vegas for 17 years in the sports books. And that's, you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like when it's Kentucky Derby weekend and somebody comes up and they're a novice and they don't know what to bet. And then the favorite's going off at, you know, even money, and you're like, they'll come up and ask, what can I bet on and who's the favorite? And then when you say, you know, $2 wins $2, you don't want that. So you want they'll take the 10 horse who's 50-1, $2 is going to get them $100, and that's what they want to do. That's what it sounds like in this scenario. No one's going to really want to lay that big number with the Saints as a heavy favorite, especially like we just said, three losses in a row at home. In terms of the whatever you want to call it, tough situation here for the Saints. It's been tough breaks, but still, overall here, I can't take the Bears on the money line, but I wouldn't lay big money on a straight bet just to bet the Saints to win the game, especially because of what's happened the past 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think that that's got to have a place in their brain, you know, that it's just kind of present, it's living there.
And Kamara better be on the field for the Saints, too.
He's got to be. I mean, if he's not.
He's not. Like I said, the Bears have scored this many points. The Bears are putting up touchdowns. They're scoring. And Montgomery's looking finally really good. He's going over. First time, I think he's 4.3 yards a carry, which is a lot better than what he did last year.
Like 2-point-something. Yeah. Right now, his rushing prop is 61.5. I have a personal number of 78 projected for him. I think there's some value in that 61.5 prop.
The only problem is for those, which I've gotten smoked on it plenty of times too, mm-hmm. plus on NBA player props too.
Oh, yeah.
Just got to be a little weary of if the player that you pick on the team is getting blown out, you stand the chance of not getting those touches anymore, especially if you take a running back and all of a sudden it's 27-3, Saints, and you need 20 more yards out of Montgomery, you're probably not going to get it because you have to pass.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Very, very good point. excuse me. Holy moly. So the last game for wildcard weekend, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, we've probably all heard the storylines going around, you know, this game, you know, just the way the Steelers ended the year, there's mm-hmm. no faith in them from me, but
okay.
You look and you see what's going on with the Browns and the facilities and, you know, Rashard Higgins getting arrested and Jarrett Wills, you know, he's still up in the air. Stefanski having COVID. This is another team that hasn't been practicing. They've had their facilities shut down.
Right. So, I mean, it's a nice story of the Browns' first playoff appearance since 2002, where they did lose to the Steelers, but they covered that game. But but still, it's been a nice season. Baker Mayfield's been hot. I mean, he's been playing fantastic lately. When Nick Chubb's in there, that seems like the offense really gets rolling. And we've seen glimpses of what they can do. Look what they did a couple weeks ago when they went in to Tennessee and put 38 points in the first half and rolled that Tennessee defense. But I think this is a nice story, but I think it ends on Sunday. Pittsburgh, people forget. Now, they were 11-0. Now, over the past, like, five games, the Dinkin and Duncan hasn't worked. Pittsburgh hasn't been able to run the ball. Big Ben didn't play last week, which I think was a smart move by Tomlin. Maybe we don't give Tomlin enough credit. Maybe he's playing possum. He's just, listen, Kansas City isn't blowing the doors off people here. They're 0-7 in the last seven against spread Kansas City. Buffalo, like I said, it seems too good to be true right now for the Bills. Maybe I'm wrong, but on against all odds, I said, and I will hopefully we'll remember this, Devin, where my Super Bowl prediction at 49-1 is Tampa Bay. And remember, I called Tampa Bay going, Tampa Bay grabbing Tom Brady. I do remember that. Colin Coward may say he called it first, but I called it way ahead of him. And I'm going to take Pittsburgh because I think, listen, Pittsburgh played in Buffalo. They lost by 11 a couple weeks ago, too. They didn't seem like they even wanted to be there. And again, Buffalo hasn't won a playoff game in ages, and Pittsburgh's won a million of them. And Ben Roethlisberger's been done so many things with a Steeler team. I think maybe if they get another shot at them, it's going to be closer. And I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh here in this spot to cover, to look good. They've beaten Cleveland 17 in a row at home. The biggest win for the Steelers this year was by 31 points against the Browns at home. The last two playoff games the Steelers have been in, they put up 30. They put up 42 at home. I like the Steelers big here. Moving on, look impressive into whoever they play. If it's the Bills next week in Buffalo, it's going to be a great game. And I'm, for whatever it is, I'm siding here with Pittsburgh in the AFC.
You know, I love all that. You know, it's not like I'm a Steelers fan, but Super Bowls with a historical franchise, you know, as such as Pittsburgh, you know, those are fun. And then, you know, I was actually talking to a follower on Twitter about, you know, this. He posted a picture of all the odds and asked about, you know, certain values and whatnot. 77-1, you know, Tampa Bay to make it to the Super Bowl. I told him that was, you know, coming out of that NFC side where I don't trust the Seahawks. I don't, like I said, I think the Bears beat the Saints, but then lose in the second round. I think it's going to be between Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the NFC championship.
And listen, I living here in Arizona, I was a big fan of two-time coach of the year, Bruce Arians, when he was here. Sometimes he's a little wacky with what he says, but he says it's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa Bay. And I love the confidence that he's exuding. Listen, he's got Tom Brady. He's almost 70 years old, Arians. So why not just go for it here? And I like this spot for Tampa Bay. And earlier this season, I know it's earlier this season and it didn't matter. And what you can say whatever you want, but they scored 38 unanswered against Green Bay and they rolled. Yeah. They picked off Rodgers a couple times and they rolled the Packers.
Well, and they not only picked them off a couple times, but if you go back and watch that film, they demolished that offensive line.
Probably the best second half or best first half. Maybe best game Tampa's played all year. And if there's anybody out there that can go into Green Bay, go into Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers, why wouldn't it be Tom Brady?
Right. That, you know, that Tampa Bay defense can come up huge in, you know, more than one spot. So loaded wild card weekend. We got some great, great, great stuff to be keeping an eye out for on this weekend. And I'm really happy that I was able to unpack it with you, you know, among all people, you know.
Listen, tell me, Devin, for a little bit here and there, you will be turning the channel a little bit to catch the golf a little bit.
You know, I
know you're a big golf guy too.
I am. You know, I love the big tournaments. So I'm trying to, you know, embody some Gas Gagnon, Hot Tub Harry.
When they're in Hawaii, though, it's just so beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
It's just great courses. Everything's gorgeous. Great courses.
I need to get into these smaller tournaments a little more. I need to start doing some deep dives, you know.
You know what? You got to do now with all these young guys in golf, by the way, that are just tremendous. So many names out there that are so good that won tournaments last year that have been in the in the PGA only for a year or so, or some guys 2 years. There's a lot of guys out there that are going to have big years and that are tremendous. Just for example, like, I mean, he's been around a little bit though. And I mentened to you that I did catch a little bit yesterday on opening round of the Century Tournament of Champions. Uh-huh. I had Harris English to be the leader. Now, Justin Thomas birdied 18, so I got half. But still, I had Harris English, who's been playing fantastic the last year and a half. And there's a lot of other guys like him that you got to look out for in golf, because these young guys are good.
Yeah. You know, like I have said, part of the reason I admire you excuse me, a lot is the fact that you do cover seemingly everything, you know, NASCAR. That's why I keep calling you Gas Gagnon.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
And then, you know, the golf and the MMA. And so, you know, it would behoove me to go ahead and start trying to get into some of these smaller tournaments as well. Now, Harry English, is he an American golfer?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yep. Okay, that's what I thought. You know, I love the Steve Strickers, the, you know, the Sergio Garcias and the, you know, Tiger Woods and the Phils and the couples. And I'm just holding on to that old guy group.
Oh, I understand. Listen, I root for the old guys too. Listen, I'm a big Phil fan. I love Phil, and he's 50 years old now, and he's played a couple of tournaments on the senior tour, and he's won both of them. Sometimes you can find odds on that sometimes too. And I like a lot of the older guys too, but there's a lot of young guys that are great. And I just love watching golf. I grew up watching golf with my father and playing. So, it's stuck with me. So, golf, I mean, I love following. Obviously, don't get me wrong, football's number one. Boy, if I had to pick a second sport for me personally, it's golf.
Man, heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's awesome. It's just one of those sports that is so meticulous, and it takes a certain amount of skill. Like a lot, I don't hate anybody, but I dislike the people that are like, you're just hitting a ball with a thing. And it is a tough sport.
It's very tough. I mean, but sometimes these guys make it look so easy. That's right. Why they're so good. I mean, there's so many guys that are stepping it up here. Let me see a couple names here if I can remember. There's guys, Joaquin Niemann. I mean, he's been fantastic. He won a tournament last year. Carlos Ortiz, Mexican golfer, he's been great too. There's a lot of guys. Scottie Scheffler's a guy who I bet on a lot last year. He's been fantastic of late, playing big in big tournaments too. So a lot, and Victor Hovland went to Oklahoma State, and I like to tout him because I think he's an excellent golfer. He's only about 23, 22 years old. I say that he's the best golfer out there right now that went to Oklahoma State. I think he's better than Ricky Fowler.
Go Pokes, by the way. You know, my Oklahoma blood coming out a little bit there. Mm. But, yeah, I do love Hovland. He won the national – did he win the national championship?
I think in college.
Individuals?
I think –
or they might have got it as a team.
I think it would have been – they might have got it as a team. Matthew Wolf, another great golfer who's very young.
Yeah.
He's an Oklahoma State guy too. They were teammates. How about that, going up against those guys?
That would be really, really tough. Really, really tough. Well, we got the national championship to talk about. And
sure.
We can kind of use that as our, you know, right side bookend. I know you got to, you know, jet a little here soon. So that way you can, you know, continue your daily endeavors with what you're doing. So,
Just a couple more shows.
Just a couple. Yeah. You know, this is probably like your fourth or your fifth today. which, by the way, I'm gracious for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm helping Sal out. I do a lot of work on the Fox Sports Bet One show.
Yeah.
Fox Bet Live. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of research for that stuff too and help those guys out. So it's a lot of fun there too. And, yeah, the national championship game is going to be interesting. I know. What are you seeing right now? 8.5, 74 and a half.
Yeah,
I'm a little. I do like the over. I'm a little worried though about Justin Fields' ribs, because if he takes a shot and he has to come out, that's a high number. I want to say that's the highest over under in a national championship game ever. And I think it will go over if he plays. I think he'll get his. I think Ohio State did score, I believe, 38 or more in all of their games except the Northwestern game. And we know what Alabama can do on offense. I mean, Mac Jones, I actually think Mac Jones got a little ripped off on the Heisman situation. He's completed 77% of his passes, 77% in the SEC championship game against Florida, 83% against the Irish when they took it easy in the second half. So that's why I think this is a situation where they're not going to take it easy on Ohio State if they get the chance. I think they Jones puts up big numbers, and I think they put up big points. Now, if again, though, I think they cover Bama, but if Fields plays the whole game, he's going to get a few too. And Sermon was great running the ball last game against Clemson. It seemed like every run he had was like 12 yards.
Yeah.
So I think that as long as he's healthy, this could be like an SEC championship game, like the Florida game. I think Alabama can get. I mean, Alabama played 9 bowl teams this year. Now I know there's an asterisk next to that when you want to call some teams bowl teams, but still played 9. They went against 9 bowl teams. And they averaged 49 points a game. Najee Harris, 24 rushing touchdowns. I mean, it comes from everybody. And even Jalen Waddle might even play, who in his first 4 games before he got hurt, had over 100 yards in every single game. And thanks to he, and my opinion, Devonta Smith owes him a little bit of that Heisman. Because if he doesn't get hurt, he doesn't have those numbers.
Yeah, because
Smith doesn't have 1,700 yards for the season, because a lot of those yards would have went to Waddle.
Yeah, they would have had probably 2 receivers with 1,200 yards would be my guess.
Sure.
And then, Waddle was the higher NFL prospect. Mm-hmm. Waddle's a stud. Waddle is a stud.
The whole team is amazing. And I think, like I said, I think as long as Fields stays in the game, and plays, and he'll get a few touchdowns, because Alabama's defense isn't that great either. They gave up 600 yards and 48 points in Mississippi this year, and gave up a lot to Florida in the SEC championship game. But I also think that they're going to score in the 50s this game. I think regardless of Ohio State, I think it's going to be a shootout, but I think it's something like 55-38. Alabama wins and covers, and it goes over as long as Fields is in there. If Fields does have to come out because of those ribs, I still obviously like Alabama to cover, but the over-under at that point, then I don't know. And that's like you mentioned earlier in the Washington-Tampa Bay game. Maybe that's a spot, Devin, where you can do in-game wagering on the total because of when and if Fields does come out because of those ribs.
You know, and it's like you're over here just – telepathizing with me, because I was literally thinking of that point. If you see, I say you talking to the listeners or just in general, if you see Fields take a couple of shots and he's ginger, or, you know, if you see him go down immediately, I think you have to hammer the in-game under, especially if it's at a point where maybe it's 14-14 early and the, you know, total's already risen live.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I've never been an elite athlete in my life. I went and bowled in college on a scholarship. So
you did?
Yeah.
Really? Where'd you go to school?
It's a small little place called Tabor College, northeast of Wichita. So
wow. Let me guess. Your average during that time. I'm gonna set the over under at your over under bowling average while at college. On a scholarship, right? You said?
Yes, sir.
I am going to say you were 221.
So my senior year, I had the highest average in the state of Kansas at 227. At college, it came down a little because the oil patterns are great. And this is a discussion.
We were talking about bowling.
224.
All right.
Yeah, 224.
Oil patterns. I love it.
It's science.
224, right? Very nice.
That's crazy.
Very nice.
So anyways,
how many 300 games you got in your career?
3, 4, something like that.
Nice.
3 or 4, yeah.
My God. God bless you. That's great.
It, you know, I grew up
last time I went
living
bowling,
in a bowling alley.
Last time I went bowling, I injured like my calf. I mean, that's the last time I went bowling. That's been it.
Hey, if people want to talk crap about bowling, I invite them to come bowl 15 games over, you know, or 15 Listen. Games a day in a weekend tournament. So bowl like 40 or 50 games. You're throwing a 15-pound ball over and over and over.
Devin, I go. I can't go 3 games without my left thumb hurting. I'm a lefty, by the way. I'm a lefty.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Earl Anthony.
Parker Bond.
Oh, okay, nice. That's a little more recent.
He was my idol, you know, growing up. That sick mustache, as you can see.
love the movie Kingpin. How can you?
Yes. Know? Fun fact, I've bowled against or with a couple of the professionals that were in that movie.
Mark Roth?
Mark Roth was at a pro-am that I bowled in. But
you're going to love this name, Marshall Holman.
Marshall Holman, God bless his soul. I never got to meet the guy.
Oh, okay.
There's a guy named Justin Romek. He has a small little just snippet where he's bowling Woody Harrelson. You see the name on the back of his jersey, Romek, H-R-O-M-E-K. Okay. He ran the pro shop of one of the bowling centers in Wichita that I worked at. So,
oh, that's tremendous. That's great.
That's my little claim to fame because I still own my original Kingpin VHS tape. It's like my, you know, not so autobiography.
Nice.
Anyways, that was a tangent. I kind of forgot where we were going with that. Oh,
I like talking bowling. No one knows these people. Nobody knows Earl Anthony. Nobody knows Earl Anthony, the classiest guy in bowling ever. Classiest.
Pete Weber. Who do you think you are? I am.
Pete Weber's great. Love that.
His dad, Dick Weber. Man.
Yeah. The opposite of Earl Anthony.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys going against each other in the early 70s, late 60s. Ooh. That was back when you were throwing car tiles down, you know, pine lanes.
Sure.
You know, it was just pure rubber, you know, urethane. Anyways, thanks for letting me unload some of that bowling stuff.
That's great. I love it. Nice.
Since you do have the connection with the Fox guys and, you know, Cousin Sal and everything, side note, the Fox Sports book, you know, they are the only ones and they were the first ones to have lines for the PBA. You can bet on PBA.
Wow, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
So on what? Just betting the tour championship or
no, just I mean just yeah,
so every week
tournaments, yeah.
Tournaments, yeah.
Yeah. So you know.
Did you, by the way, just curious, like I got now that you're like a great bowler, I'm just curious. I've always wanted to ask, like, is it like a home bowling advantage when you bowl at a certain or do you just like you're going to this certain bowling shop to go bowling and just whatever it is on that lane that place you bowl at, you're just tremendous at that place for some reason.
Yeah. You know, throughout my high school career, there were centers that I would go to and travel for big tournaments. And I just never could do any. And my comparison with bowling is it's essentially just golf, but I mean, it's that type of individual mental sport.
Some guys are so good
on certain,
like you mentioned, Freddie Couples, Tiger Woods, they're amazing at the Masters. They're amazing at Augusta. Maybe you and other guys that you go or women that you bowl with be like, we're going to this center. And I know I'm good for 245. I'm good for a 240 average in that place for three games. I know I am.
Yeah.
You know,
there's centers that once I saw, like we were scheduled to bowl there, you know, I was like, all right, well, I'm good for a 700 walking in this door. So,
hey, you know what? When I first moved to Vegas, Devin, had some a buddy moved out from New York with me. He got divorced and then moved out and came out with me. And we met a couple buddies. I had met a college buddy who the Tonawanda guy. The Tonawanda guy. He was living in Vegas, of all things, small world. And this other guy we met, and I was there a year and a half, and I was in a bowling league. Now those guys like to drink. Obviously, they love to drink. So a lot of teams would get a little annoyed with us because waiting on the shots and the beers, you know, wait, but, and we weren't terrible, but I played 2 years of league bowling in 1994, 1995. And my average was about, I'll take a 140 average. That was mine.
Yeah.
I'll take a 140.
I love having those kinds of folks on my team because A, you get handicap sticks. B, there's always the opportunity that your 140, 150 bowler comes out and shoots a 200 just because, you know, they hit the pocket a few times in a row. They pick up spares, you know, and it's all about
the Tonawanda guy or the my buddy I moved out with, his was like 100. He sucked, but he was terrible. But if you can, like you just said, though, with a handicap, if you can get us out of the three games, get us a 125 in one game, and then we'll at least take a couple, you know, we'll take a game or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, here, I was not expecting to unpack some bullpen
That's
stuff.
Great. I love it.
I'm ear to ear right now. It's kind of funny.
Listen, we end the show with golf and bowling, and I could talk about it for hours. If I could.
Absolutely. Man, that was great. That was great. Well, whenever I've never been to Arizona, so if I come out to Arizona, maybe we go throw
Hit me up, man. It. Absolutely. We'll have a blast. We'll go to Old Town Scottsdale, we'll watch some games, bet away, and I do know of a bowling alley that's pretty good too. So
perfect, perfect. Well, I will hold on to that as a bucket list item.
Nice.
Hopefully within the next year. That would be
phenomenal. Hopefully 2021 is a lot better.
Yeah,
it's gotta
absolutely.
Be, right? It's got to.
Yeah,
be.
It's well, I'm no Nostradamus, but I got good feelings. So
good. But, yeah, me too.
Well, Harry.
Me too.
Man, it's the part of the show that I dread because, I could sit here all day with you, bud.
Yeah.
Got to put a little bit of a bow and a ribbon on it just for the fact that you're a busy, busy guy.
Hey.
And,
Devin, I appreciate it. I love your stuff that you're doing. Again, AAO Harry, Against All Odds podcast, Extra Points Podcast Network, bestbetcorner.com. Check out my stuff. And I got a golf article up there right now. We've got my picks this weekend. And it's going to be fun, man. Devin, we got 6 games Saturday, Sunday, out here on the West Coast. It's going to be morning till night. It's going to be fantastic. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm kind of envious of your West Coast stuff because I did live in mountain time for a little bit. So it was awesome waking up at like 10 a.m. and having football. I've always loved it.
I remember being in high school. Being in New York on Monday mornings in school, falling asleep because I would just watch Monday Night Football on Tuesday morning, and I can't stay awake because I had to be up till 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I had to be at school at 7 in the morning. It sucked. West Coast is where it's at. Come on out.
Yeah. So, again, thanks, Harry, man. Again, folks, if you didn't hear his plugs and everything, Harry Gagnon, at AAO Harry on Twitter. Best Bets Corner, all the good stuff that I'm just regurgitating at this point. I myself humbly am Devin Ellington at DALE007 on Twitter. We are at Hootball Gaming. And then Harry also, hey, I just want to throw this out to you. You are on the episode of the 1 year anniversary of Hootball Gaming. Like we had a Twitter notification today on the account.
Oh, nice.
We are a year old today. So
very nice.
I couldn't have planned it. Or not tried to plan it, but I couldn't have, let this happen a little bit.
Let me just say, Sal also, Devin, just came out with his book. It's coming out very soon. He wrote a book. I'm in there plenty.
Him and our
endeavors during college, some of our stories during then. You've
told me a couple of those stories, so I definitely want to get a copy of that book.
I mean, it's got crazy stuff in there. Yeah. Tons of crazy stuff. It'll be good.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy for you, Harry. And, as always, when we interact, we make sure to send each other good vibes back and forth. So that's, I'm sending all my good vibes, all my good energies out to the desert for you, out to all of our listeners. And, folks, don't forget to use those promo codes over at mybookie.ag as well as Manscaped. Come join us on the premium side, hang out in the Discord, and let's grow this community. Let's grow this family. We get amazing people on here like Harry and, everything forward, y'all. Everything forward. Again, Harry, thank you so much, man.
My pleasure, man. Good luck to everything and everything you're doing, man. Devin, you're doing a great job. Love it, man.
Thanks, Harry. That means so much to me. With that note, we're going to end on it because, I'm smiling too much to say too much more. So, all right, Harry, take care, boss.
Take care, bud.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.